your precious word. You know, you just don't know how precious this is unless you did not have it. And as Brother Robert prayed for our church and thanked the Lord for our church, I want to thank the Lord that we have a church that believes in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of churches that's fallen by the wayside, and there's a lot of Baptist churches. I'm telling you, it's fallen by the wayside. And liberalism, they're not believing the Word of God. They know what man says, but we need the theology of God's Word. And thank you for a church that believes and stands on the Word of God, because in the future, you're going to see them get less and less across this country as we try to remove God out of everything. We got him out of our government, out of our schools, and we just about got him out of our churches. And he's been gone from a lot of families for a long time. So these assurances that Paul tells us, these certainties that we need as we come to the Word of God. And the scripture that I chose to read, I'll be all through the Bible. I didn't make a very long outline because I'll be jumping all over the Bible tonight. But 2 Timothy 1 and 12, I'll read this and then we'll go through some more scripture. But Paul penned this, 2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Paul had been through a lot at this time. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he," that's Jesus, "is able to keep that which I have committed unto him," Jesus, "against that day." Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you for that power of the Word of God. Father, as you moved upon Paul many years ago with the Holy Spirit of God to pen this precious word, Father, and you brought it down through the time of human beings and the generation after generation for your precious and holy word as we have it here before us this hour. And we thank you, God, that, Lord, we know that Paul says he's not ashamed because he knows that Jesus Christ, whom he have believed, and he was persuaded, oh God, that you know that you have kept him and able to keep that what he have committed against the day that you have called him and the day that you will call him from the grave, Father, and give him a new body along with us also at the same time if we go through the way of the grave. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, this night. Lord, for the prayers have been offered up, we have a responsibility. Lord, we have an opportunity, Lord, to pray for these people, as Miss Violet's in the hospital and others, and those on the prayer list that we've called out in a prayer box on our hearts or mind or soul in our community to pray to lift these people up to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, we have this privilege in Jesus Christ because we have a living Savior, not a dead one. We have a living Savior, Lord, that ever makes intercession for us. And we want to thank you and praise you, Father, for every person here, Father, for their family members and every member of this church and all these blessings we ask in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Paul, absolutely confident that the grace of God that he knew quite well saved him, and it would keep him saved, and he would be able to save him to that day that Jesus Christ called him home. That's what he says in that, that verse that I read. The assurance of grace. Remember now when we come against these problems, that there's assurance of grace, and it's going to carry us all the way through the problem. You know, Paul went through a lot of problems. I mean, he was beaten, stoned, left for dead. I'll tell you, shipwrecked. You just read what Paul went through, and he says, you know, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, you know, I know that the grace of God is the assurance that'll carry me through. And I tell you, we're going to face some things in this life, but you remember, the grace of God is going to carry you through no matter what this world throws at you. Paul was also like old John Newton that wrote Amazing Grace. Old John Newton, if you ever read a life story about old John Newton, you need to read the life story about old John Newton. He turned out to be a preacher and wrote many other hymns, but the greatest hymn that I think of all times is that Amazing Grace. That amazing grace, because old Paul said, like old John Newton says, "Through many danger, toils, and snares, I have already come." And I tell you, I believe a lot of us can say that tonight. The age that we're living now, and most of us, I think we can say, we've come through so many, many danger, toils, and snares, but you see that we've already come. We're this far in life right now, but you said, "This grace has brought me safe thus far." And old Paul says, and John Newton, "Grace will lead me home." You just remember this assurance of grace that we come against, the problems and perplexity of life and uncertainties, that the grace of God is more and stronger than any of the circumstances that we'll ever come with. See, the divine deposit of grace that God Almighty deposited down in our soul, I'm going to tell you, it will take us home. God deposits something in each and every one of us. He's made an investment in us, a divine investment. And by grace, I tell you, that'll keep us safe and it'll take us home. Many people do not have this kind of assurance tonight. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of even Christians that don't even have this assurance tonight because they go on their feelings, how they behave. And I tell you, it's not your feelings. It's a fact of the Word of God that you're saved by the grace of God. And it's not about your feelings and not about how you behave yourself. It's what Christ Jesus has done. And they do not have this assurance because they don't understand the Word of God that they're saved by the grace of God and they've kept saved by the grace of God and not by theirself. And they're tossed about all over the life's cycle that we live in. I was reading something that go along with this scripture of Paul talking about being tossed about, and I read about a man named Patrick Sandfoss, I think was his name, and he was up in Ohio by Ohio River, and he decided one day that he would write his address down, put it in a bottle and seal that bottle and just throw it in the Ohio River. So he done that. 5 years later, someone wrote to him and told him that he had found his bottle. And it come from James Bryan from Scotland. Now, it was amazing. He said, me and my wife was walking by the side of the riverside of the coast, and we found this bottle, and they wrote this note and said, we thought that you might want to know that we have found this bottle. And they wrote to the man there in Ohio. Now, the amazing thing about this, the distance that this bottle had traveled in 5 years. He threw it in the Ohio River. It bobbled all the way down to the Mississippi River, where the Ohio River goes into the Mississippi River. And then the Mississippi River, yeah, it flows into the Gulf of Mexico. And down through Florida, all around Peninsula of Florida, to the Atlantic Ocean. And across the Atlantic Ocean unto the seaside of Scotland. 6,800 miles this bottle had traveled. And we know that it bottled up and down and bobbed up and down and was blowed by the wind and washed by the waves until it reached a foreign shore. And I got to thinking about that because, you see, sometimes our Christian life, it mirrors the bobbling of this old bottle across the ocean, up and down by the waves, and you see in the journey that this bottle had made. And our life, as we set out on life's journey, it bobbles up and down through the waves of time, in the winds and the storm of this life that we're living in. And sometimes as that old bottle, you know, it was bobbling up and down on that ocean and that river, and it seemed like our life sometimes is doing that, and it seemed like it's just aimless. We really don't even know why we're here, and the uncertainty that we have so many times. And we have the uncertainty here this night. As I said, you know, there's three certainty, but there's some uncertainties that we have in life. There's some people who don't know what's going to happen. There's some problems they have. They got to go to the doctor, and there's other problems in life. There's just so many uncertainties, and we just, you know, have these uncertainties in life. But we have in Jesus Christ His direction and also His peace, that God's grace will go with us. Philippians 1 and 6, it said, being confident of this very thing that I'm talking about, Paul said again, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we could just remember that when these problems come along in our life. Paul said, I'm saved today by grace. I'm saved tomorrow by grace. And I'll be saved in eternity by grace. I am saved by the grace of God. John 3 and 18 says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Have y'all done that tonight? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? It says, if you have, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, it all depends on Him, don't it? Like I said, it's not your fact. It's not your feelings. It's a fact of the Word of God and not mine. It's emotions, not emotions, but it's the Word of God. You see, we know that God has done that for us. John 6 and 37, I like to quote this a lot of times, especially for young people that come to know the Lord. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me, I no wise cast out. Are you in or you out tonight? You see, when these problems come to us, to understand that we're in, We're in the grace of God, and we cannot be cast out. The Bible says that we might know. Did you know there's a lot of Christians that do not believe that you know that you can be saved, eternally saved? There's a lot of Christians. There's a whole group of them that do not believe that you can know for sure that you go to heaven. But the Bible tells us. In fact, in 1 John, I don't know, 18 or 20 times it says, you might know, you may know, you may know, you may know that you have eternal life. I'll read a couple of these verses. 1 John 5 and 11, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son have life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm going to tell you, you can say, I am not dependent on myself. I'm not dependent on my feelings. I'm not dependent on my behavior. I'm dependent on what God has done for me. And I live in Christ Jesus. I like to tell everybody that thinks they can behave their way to heaven. You know, a lot of people think they can behave their way to heaven, that you got to be good enough to get to heaven. Whew. I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it. Even the best 15 minutes you ever lived, it wouldn't be good enough for you to go. That makes people go to thinking. You know, it's not your behavior. It's what Christ Jesus has done for you. It's what he's done for us, because what I have committed unto him. So remember the assurance of grace, Paul says, these three assurances. And this is one of them, the assurance of grace. All through your life, as that old bottle is going up and down the river to the gulf and over across the ocean of our life, as we're going from coast to coast, from the cradle to the grave, you can depend on one thing, the assurance of grace when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's always grace. And then the assurance of this life as we're going through the life ocean is the assurance of the goodness. You know, I can praise God tonight. Can you praise God tonight for the goodness of what God has given me? You know, if he took all of our lives right now, you know, he's given all of us great blessings, hadn't he? Did you know that he have given every one of us already a cup of joy? Every one of us in here, God has already extended to us a cup of joy. He never gives us anything else. Never gives us another joyful day. We've already received a cup of joy for every one of us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That great blessing, the assurance of goodness, and that great verse that I like so much at Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Not as everything work together is good. No, it's for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In that verse of scripture now, there's some things that Paul said. I'm going to give you some reasons that we can know that all these things work for our good. There's all the things in this life. As that old bottle began to bob up and down Ohio River, the Mississippi, and Gulf, and all around to hit the foreign shore. Same way about your life and the same way about my life. There's a goodness was going with us all the way through life journey as we on life sea. And you know, the first thing we look at, oh, we are God's children. Well, that's a great blessing tonight to know Jesus Christ and know that we are his children. It says in that Romans chapter 8, 15 and 16, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you know that you're a spirit tonight, that you know you're a child of God tonight? Does everybody here have a certainty that you are a child of God tonight? That you might be able to cry, Abba, Father. You see, there's two families in the world. Lost people don't like to hear this, but they are the family of Satan. When you're born the first time, you're born in the family of Satan. You have to be born again. Everybody thinks that universal salvation for everybody. We see that enough of blood was shed on Calvary to save everybody that's ever been born or ever will be born, but that don't mean that everybody's going to be saved. You have to accept what Christ Jesus has done. And you say, Abba, Father, you know, there's something different about saying daddy. There's fathers in here tonight. A lot of people say, well, you're a father. I'm a father. But you know, it's something whenever someone walks up to you and say, daddy. Does it change your relationship by just saying, father, daddy? A great relationship. And you see, I could say, daddy. And our earthly fathers and always wants to try to do more for their children to have a little bit better than they had. I know my father did. Always will want a little bit better for their children than what they had it. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then being evil, talking about our earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts unto your children as our earthly fathers that we give to our children. And then he says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him. Then 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. We are his. It's a little different than we are God's children. We are God's children. Not only that, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. All things work on this sea of life that we're on. Works together because we are God's children. And you're going to see to that. But you see, the second thing, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. You ask not, you receive not because you ask not. Something we don't know what to ask for. Like, we don't know what to pray for many, many times. But you see, what makes all things work for good to those that love the Lord is also the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. In Romans 8:26-27 it says, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth that is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, that's assurance that the Holy Spirit, as we pray, is going to ask the things that we need to make everything work out for the good to those that love the Lord. Make sure that the things that we have, you know, is good, works good for them. Now, everything we go through life is not good. Y'all know that, don't you? He didn't say that, but it works for our good. Everything happened to us. But not only that, we have the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, but we have the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge that God already have predestined us, all predestinated us. In 8:29 it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He already have foreknown this, predestined this. The earthly father, it says, you know what, makes plans sometimes that, you know, that we can't carry out, but God can carry out the plans he makes for every one of us. He's able to do that. And God predestined us. Also in verse 30 of that same chapter. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He predestined every one of us to be just like Jesus. And you know, I told you not long ago, you know what? We're the image of Adam, because Adam fell and we're a wreck. And we don't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That we'll look like Jesus Christ. We get these new bodies, this old wrecked body that I'm in now. When we get this new body, I'll be like Jesus Christ. He predestined us to be that way. Sometimes people are scared of this word, the predestination. They say, well, some people being predestined to go to hell, some people being predestined to go to heaven. That's not in the Word of God, I can tell you that. Anytime you see predestination in the Word of God, it's always talking to the saved. It's always talking to the saved. You can't omit whosoever will. It's always talking to the saved. Also, God is for us, Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, all the difficulties and uncertainties that we're living through, then if God is for us, no matter what we're going through in this bottle of life and on ocean's sea, What can we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who could be against us? All things are available to us in this verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? As I explained to you, you know, one of my sons was to die for you, and I was to let one of my sons die for you, and you say, well, I need a car. Well, I would give you his car also. I mean, I done give you the greatest thing. That's what God said, is I give you my son. If I'm going to give you my son, I'm going to give you the car and everything else goes with it. That's what he promised us. He gave us his son. So all these things shall be added unto us. I done give you the greatest things. So all these other things, you know, are going to be added to you. He said he's going to give us them. Psalms 84 and 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from them that walk upright. Thank you, Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8 and 35 on down. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see, there ain't nothing can separate us. All through this life journey that we're on, we got the assurance of grace. And then we got the assurance of this glory all through life. We got the assurance of this unending love that he has for us, no matter how we act. I'm certainly glad that God don't love us according to how we behave. I'm glad he don't love us according to the way we love him. He loves us because of who he is. Thank you, Lord. John 13 and 1. As we think about this, what Christ has done for us. But he says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's us and you and me too, to the end, he said. And Romans 8 and 20 again, now we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So remember the assurance of grace all through this life journey and the assurance of goodness, no matter what we up against in this life. And then we got the assurance of glory. Getting closer all the time, I can tell you, for every one of us. Every day we're getting closer to glory. All these little uncircumstances we have and uncertainties we have in the circumstance of life, just remember all the grace and the goodness, but also that we're getting closer to glory all the time. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Talking about this old body that we're living in. He says tabernacle, this old tent. He's talking about a body, this old house. Y'all remember that old kind of an old corny song? Stuart Hamble, I believe what his name was, or Stuart Hamble. He was out on a hunting party out in the woods, and they came upon an old house out in the woods. You know, trees and grew up around an old, just a dilapidated old house. And he see how the windows were broke out of it, and the doors off the hinges, and the shingles off the top. And he wrote a song. Y'all know what that song was? Y'all remember that old song, This Old House? A kind of a corny song, This Old House? And what it was, he was describing our bodies. But he wrote that old song. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't gonna need this house no more. You gonna help Nancy? Ain't got time to fix the shingles, ain't got time to fix the doors. What he was singing about was this old body. You know another song that he wrote, Robert probably sung this before. I don't even know the name of it. It goes like this, though. It is no secret what God can do. He's done for others. He'll do for you. What's the name of that song, Robert, you know? That's the name of it? It is no secret? Well, he wrote that song also. Yes. That's a beautiful song, but both of them are, if you just think about it. And then he's talking about this old house that you and I are living in. And he didn't just think this up out of his mind, because Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is where he got this song from, this old house. This old dilapidated house that you and I are living in. And it says there in verse 3, Ecclesiastes 12 and 3, in the days when the keeper of this house shall tremble, and the strong man shall bow themselves, the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. In that verse and several more verses below, it tells us about this old house, that song they wrote about. It says, you know, the keepers of the house, that's the hands and the arms. It says the keepers of the house, what's happened to them? That's the one that keeps the house. And they shall tremble. You see, you get older, you're going to find out. You know, you're not near as steady as you used to be. And the keeper of the house and the hands and the arms. And he says, you know, that same verse, the strong men shall bow themselves. Talking about our legs, a strong man of this house, and the strongest part of your body is your legs. And, you know, your legs, you're going to find out one of these days, not near as strong as they used to be. Me and my father, we used to be out working, you know, we'd be out working, and we'd come up to a fence, you know, and I'd just grab a hold of the post, and I'd jump over the post, you know, and he'd go down yonder and open the gate and walk in. What in the world are you going to do that for? Go down and open the gate instead of climbing over or jump over like that. Now I know why. I'd be going down and do the gate too, because I'm not going to jump or I ain't going to climb the fence. Because you know what? These strong men of old legs ain't near as good as they used to be. And I can understand that. And then it says the grinders shall cease because they are few. And that's talking about our old teeth. You know, there's a man in a testimony service, and he always want to thank God for everything. He said, I want to thank God I got two teeth. And he said, I want to double thank God, he says, because both of them meets. But you see, you know, I can tell you tonight, and most of us knows that, the older you get, you know what, the fewer teeth you're going to have, and the more trouble you're going to have with them. More trouble you're going to have. The grinders shall cease. And then it says, those who look out of the windows be darkened. And that ain't no problem for us to understand why that is, because you see these glasses I'm wearing right now. And you need more light in the house. I don't know whether I got on a blue socks or black shirt or black shoes. I can't tell blue and black anymore in the house. I ain't got enough of light in the house. Y'all ladies are out of the problem with that. You don't know what color you got on when you get out in the sun. You don't know if you got the same color socks on or not. So if I come up here and y'all see my socks, one blue and black, you know I can't see. I can't tell what color it is. Well, the eyes, he's just talking about our eyes, how that, you know, what's going to happen. And then verse 4, he goes on in verse 4, he says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinder is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the birds, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Now, you see, the doors shall be shut in the streets. Why'd you say, what? I can't hardly hear you. Your ears, you can't hear near as good when y'all get older. You see, you might need a hearing aid. What'd you say, Jimmy? You might need a hearing aid. Miss May's mother, Miss Betty Dixon, her brother, Truman Dixon, I worked with for years, went to school with him, and he married a lady from Pennsylvania, I believe, and Truman Dixon, I don't know if y'all know Miss Betty's brother. Anyway, I worked with him, and his mother-in-law, she was in her 90s. And she lived up in Pennsylvania, and her girls were there in her 60s at that time. And they tried to get her to get a hearing aid. They couldn't call her on the telephone. She couldn't hear. They tried to get her and talk to her and begged her to get a hearing aid. She said, I'm 90-something years old. I've heard all I want to hear. I thought that was pretty good. Yes, sir. I've heard all I want to hear. Then it says, you know, rise up early at the voice of the birds. Now, you don't know this, but I believe I can remember back when I was in school. Can y'all remember back when y'all was in school? Well, my grandmother would live with us, and I tell you, she'd get up with the chickens. Rooster crow, she'd be up. And I was there at school today. Now, who in the world wants to get up? I wish I could sleep later than that. Why in the world? And she didn't have to do nothing. She worked all the time, but she didn't have to do nothing. Why in the world do anybody, when you get old, want to get up early? You don't have to get up early in the morning when you get old. No job? No, you don't have to go to school? Y'all know what I'm talking about now? Yeah, so at a certain time, you got to get out of that bed now. You can't later like you ought to whenever you was a child. That's what it's talking about here. You get up with the voice of the birds. All the daughters of the music shall be brought low. That's our voice. You know, sometimes your voice, you'll be able to get weaker and weaker and weaker. The older we get, the weaker it's going to get. And that Ecclesiastes, in verse 5, it says, they shall be afraid of that which is high. Used to, I didn't mind climbing a tree, getting on top of a barn and jumping off, or high things didn't bother me near a bit. I don't want to get up on high things anymore. Did you know it'll make a difference when you get older about getting up on high things? I don't even like to go up an elevator. I take the stairs. I don't like to fly. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up on high things. And then it says the almond tree shall flourish. Well, I can't use this for an example, but it's talking about white hair. I don't have any. I got young hair. My hair don't stand long enough to get old. It's young hair, but white hair. That's what it's talking about, white hair, gray hair. The almond tree, when it blooms, is just white, kind of like a tree y'all see around here, maybe like the what is the boxwood, or not the boxwood, but the, yeah. And it's white, so we know we get older, our hair's going to turn white. And then it says, the grasshopper shall be a burden. You know, small things agitates me. You know, the older you get, you know, small things aggravate you. Used to it didn't bother you, but small things aggravate you. Have anybody tried to go to sleep with a cricket in the house? A little old cricket. Singing. Small things, he says. Gnats. Sand gnats. Small things, it says. They'd be like a burden to you. Not only the material thing, I mean, but the things of life we see aggravates us too. And then, as we see, it says in verse 5, man go to his long home. I quote this a lot of times in when I'm doing funerals. But you see that most of us, through our life, y'all have moved from house to house many times probably in your life. Most of us have moved several times. But is that life on this ocean of that old bottle, it reached that farther shore. And it says in verse 5, man goes to his long home. One of these days, you won't have to move anymore. You won't have to move anymore. See, we're going to a grave, but something wonderful, metamorphosis, is going to take place. We're going to turn into something beautiful, that place of that grave. Something beautiful, because it says in 1 Corinthians 15:42, so also is this resurrection of the dead. It is sowed in corruption, this old body, but it's raised in corruption. It is sowed in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It is sowed in weakness, but it is raised in power. Paul says, remember these three assurances as you're going through life. The assurance of grace and the goodness and of glory. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I hope this gives you assurance tonight. Because you're going to face some of these things in life if you're not going through them now. Every day, some uncertainties might creep up on you. But remember these three certainties from the Word of God, what God has done for us. You'll have us a song you got on there for just a moment. We have a word of prayer and just a moment of silent prayer. Has God been good to us today? Anybody got a testimony? Anybody got a testimony?